What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Joining us this week for a look at things on the screen, big and small, and some recommendations, CJ Johnson. CJ, good evening. Welcome back to Night Live.
Good evening. Thank you very, very much, Philip.
Now, documentary special. There are three feature documentaries this week, one of which is nominated for a couple of Oscars.
That's right. Should we start with that one?
Collective, The Painter and the Thief, and Operation Varsity Blues, the college admissions scandal. Should we start with Collective?
Yeah, Collective is the one that's nominated for a couple of Oscars. As you say, specifically, it is nominated naturally for Best Feature-Length Documentary at the coming Oscars, but it is also nominated for Best International Film. So just to get nerdy and on the nose about it briefly, basically, Best International Film is what they renamed Best Foreign Language Film a couple of years ago, which kind of, to stop it sounding other, but it still sounds other.
It still sounds weird, doesn't it?
In other words,
they can't get over the fact that, you know what, America is not necessarily the home of everything.
It just isn't. Yeah, so, it was better named before, because it literally, the qualification is that it's in a language other than English predominantly, so it really is Best Foreign Language Film. But they've decided to call it Best International Film, and so like last year when that amazing Bee documentary, Honeyland...
One of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Wasn't it? Fantastic. Yeah. Mm. So that was nominated simultaneously for Best Documentary Feature, but also in Best International Film for, I believe, North Macedonia. And likewise, this year, Collective is nominated in both of those categories. So it is a feature-length documentary, but also nominated for Best International Film for Romania. And what this is Collective is the fly-on-the-wall documentary about lethal Romanian corruption you didn't know you needed. But boy, you need this movie. It is phenomenal. Basically, it's a film about journalists. It's a terrific journalists as ethical heroes movie. And it follows a group of journalists who work for a sports daily in Budapest, in Romania, as they uncover a truly horrific corruption scandal in the wake of a horrific fire. So basically, Collective is the name of a nightclub. And I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, that nightclub had a big fire and people perished in that fire. But after the fire, survivors who went into the hospital system suffering from major burns then died within the system because of corruption-based shortchanging that was going on within certain aspects of the healthcare system. And we follow this being discovered in real time by the journalists. So how the director had his camera team in all the right places, it's amazing to think of. But I guess, as these journalists were starting to get a whiff of something going on, this director, Alexander Nanu, whose work I otherwise don't know, put his camera team with these journalists, and they uncover this thing in front of our eyes, I guess over the course of months, but we're getting it over the course of 90 minutes, and it is jaw-dropping in what they uncover and how they uncover it. But it's also deeply inspiring because, like all the President's Men or other fictional films about great moments in journalism history, this is a great moment in journalism history. This is people uncovering something so huge about stuff that's going on at the highest levels of Romanian politics and bringing it down that it's really inspiring. So although the subject matter is tough because it's about people who died thanks to the greed of others, it is also really uplifting and inspiring because it reminds you that if there are good people out there doing their job, specifically journalists, then this kind of stuff can and will be held to account.
Mm. Yeah, it does sound extraordinary, actually. Collective. Now, it's in cinemas from next week?
Yes, from Thursday the 8th of April. Yep. It's in cinemas.
Okay. All right, now, also playing in cinemas at the moment, The Painter and the Thief from Norway. What's this about?
All right, so this one surprisingly didn't get an Oscar nomination for Best Feature Documentary, although it was widely tipped to going into the selection process, and I guess it just missed out, because My Octopus Teacher is nominated instead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I think is a bit ridiculous because that's a nice film about a guy who likes an octopus, but it's not about massive corruption or...
No, and also, I mean, I enjoyed it too, but it's the whole premise of that octopus movie is not actually right.
No.
It was, anyway.
Yeah, anyway, if you want to find that, it's on the website. You can look up our review of that when we discuss it at great depth, actually, Philip and I. The Painter and the Thief is fascinating. Mm. So this is a true story, obviously, about something that happened in Norway. And once again, very much like Collective, not to the same degree as Collective, but like it, it's the case of a very good documentary maker seeing that something's going on or hearing about something that's going on and deploying their crew to be there when other things happen. So you're really at very intimate moments of a story unfolding. And the story is pretty amazing. So a woman named Barbara Kilsakova, who is a Czech painter who lives in Norway, had two of her paintings brazenly stolen from an Oslo gallery in the daytime one day when the gallery was closed. I think it might have been a Monday and, you know, Monday gallery day off. What happened was this. The thief was caught. And rather than seek vengeance, Barbara decided to try and redeem him. And one of the first ways she decided to try and redeem him was inviting him over to her studio and to start to paint him. So she starts to paint him and get to know him. And really what's on her mind is to try and figure out, you know, the reasons that he might have stolen from her. And basically she wants to redeem him. He's an addict. And carries a lot of the difficulties and challenges that addicts face and pose. In other words, he's not trustworthy necessarily because he might be needing to feed his addiction. And she might also have not necessarily the most valid or clear-cut reasons for wanting to do what she wants to do in terms of seeking his redemption. So basically, they're both troubled people. They're both coming from wounds that are quite deeply hidden, and both are trying to use each other to find their own forms of salvation in ways that aren't necessarily great ways. So there's a lot going on. It's really about the deep complexity of human need, really, what she needs out of him, what he needs out of her. But also, the camera follows both of them when they're together, but also when they're apart. So we actually get to see their real agendas, and we kind of know their real agendas that they don't necessarily show each other. And through skillful editing, the film becomes really suspenseful and has a lot of kind of reveals when start to reveal that, oh, maybe the game that he was playing with her and the game that she was playing with him wasn't necessarily what we've been led to believe, which is quite thrilling.
Okay. Mm. This is a little from The Painter and the Thief.
I don't know what to think.
We have identified the thief. We have
We had his name from the court papers.
Hello?
You might know who I am. I'm just a curious person. What made you do it?
It was your masterpiece.
Since I'm a painter, I'd love to make a portrait of
you. I'll ask you regularly to sit here.
I can tell you some more about how I got to be a criminal.
This guy is often quite self-destructive. It feels like that is his way to be seen.
Now, intriguingly, as you heard, they're all speaking English. Because she's Czech and he's Norwegian, they speak in English. Because I've been to Norway. Everyone in Norway speaks English. So they naturally speak in English because it's easier for them to speak in English than for her to speak Norwegian because she doesn't speak Norwegian. She speaks Czech.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's in English, even though it's in Norway.
The Painter and the Thief. That's in cinemas right now.
That is.
Now, the third of our documentaries tonight, Operation Varsity Blues, the college admissions scandal. Now, this is the one.
Yep.
This is the scandal where well-known celebrities were paying to have their kids admitted to prestigious grad schools and so on and universities in America.
Yeah, you remember when this happened?
Yes, I do.
I mean, it feels like it only happened yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, and I think it really only did happen like 18 months ago or 2 years ago. I don't know, you know, pandemic time is strange time. But it does feel like recent history. And the reason it became, I guess, worldwide news, was amongst the very, very wealthy people who were paying someone to get their kids into Ivy League universities were a couple of famous actresses. Mm. And if you watch certain television, they were very famous actresses. So the two actresses involved were Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. And if you watch the right television shows, they are major, 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 major stars. Not so much in cinema, but certainly in television.
TV
and,
they were, yeah.
And, you know, they both paid the piper.
Well, they both went to jail.
Felicity Huffman went to jail for 11 days, yeah. And Lori Loughlin went to jail for 2 months. So they were the public face of this thing, but actually they were among about 50 people who all got charged, found guilty or pled guilty and sentenced for conspiring to do all sorts of things. And, you know, the actual charges when this kind of thing happens, it's usually things like it involves words like mail and wire and stuff, because it's all about, like, if you electronically offer people bribes or something, mm-hmm. then it's like mail fraud. You know, it's kind of archaic language, but they all got done. And the question is, how did they do these things in the first place? And that's what this answers. So you might not be interested, but it's actually very interesting because it all comes down to one man. There was this guy named Rick Singer who was a coach who privately coached rich kids of rich parents to help them get into the best colleges. And from there, he developed an illegal system to try and guarantee they got in. Mm. And one of the ways, I won't spoil anything, but one of the ways that famously got reported on that he was doing it was he was pretending that they did obscure sports that they didn't actually do. And he was literally getting photographs of these kids and digitally cutting them out and photoshopping them on like a rowing crew, you know, and pretending that they were like the great coxswain of their high school and all of this shenanigans. And somehow it worked, and it worked for him for like 2 decades until it all came crumbling down. Mm. So you get the whole story, you get the details, and then you get the comeuppance and you see it all come crumbling down. And intriguingly, the director, Chris Smith, who's made a lot of good American documentaries, he casts the actor Matthew Modine as Rick Singer. And Rick Singer got wiretapped. And so there's all this incriminating evidence of all of these people blatantly criminalizing over the phone. So you see Matthew Modine having these conversations with actors as you're hearing the actual words that they said. And one of the things you discover is white collar criminals are idiots. They will say anything over the phone. They just don't think they're being tapped. And these people are incriminating themselves all over the shop all day long with this guy.
Here we are, Operation Varsity Blues.
We help the wealthiest families in the U.S. get their kids into school.
So I've done 761 what I would call side doors. The front door means getting in on your own. So I've created this kind of side door in. Because my families want a guarantee.
Hmm. Yeah. And they're willing to pay for it too.
Oh my gosh, the figures they pay. Mm. You know, because at one point he offers that this person could have their SAT test taken for them. Mm. You know, it's, oh, so what does that cost? And he's like, oh, to get someone else to take the test for it, that's $75,000. Like, it's all just there on the table being recorded, which is quite satisfying.
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. All right, now, Stars Collective.
Collective is one of the greatest documentaries I've seen in the last decade. 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Okay. The Painter and the Thief?
3.5.
Okay. And Operation Varsity Blues?
3.
Okay. Some good fare there.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, CJ.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.